program is produced by the Living Church of God.
Why must men suffer? If there is a real God, why does He allow the wars, the crimes, the disease, the suffering, and the countless millions of people to suffer the way He does? This is a question very few understand, but there is a genuine answer, my friends. That answer makes sense, and it is an answer that ties in with the great purpose for human existence. Stay tuned.
Tomorrow's World. The Living Church of God presents Dr. Roderick C. Meredith, Richard Ames, bringing you the good news of your future in tomorrow's world. This week, Dr. Roderick C. Meredith asks, why must men suffer? And now, Dr. Roderick C. Meredith.
My friends, why is it that when all is going well, God is seldom mentioned? He very seldom gets any credit for what's going good. But when terrible suffering comes, when awful wars, disease, accidents, and other tragedies come along, then God gets the blame. We call it an act of God. And so God gets the blame. Perhaps we need to get our brains straightened out. We need to face a few facts. As we discussed in the last program, God made man in His own image. God has given us intelligence, creative imagination, and a real mind rather than animal instinct. Man was given free moral agency. God doesn't force us to do right or wrong. We're not made like robots. We're not forced to do what God wants us to do. Can you imagine the outcry? Can you imagine the bitterness if we were made, if we were forced to do right or do wrong? People say, I can't stand this, and so on. Most people would resent that bitterly if they were programmed to do the right thing. And yet if they do the wrong thing and suffer, they say, oh, that's awful, and why does God allow all this suffering? Think about it. Please think about it. God is allowing mankind to go its own way for 6,000 years of human history. He is allowing us to write the lessons that we're later going to learn. And I'll explain that as we go along. But many times He's intervened, many, many times, and told mankind what to do. He told ancient Israel what to do, and they didn't do it. He said back in Deuteronomy 30 and verse 19, after giving Israel the Ten Commandments and giving them a whole group of statutes and judgments that would make them the best nation on the earth, He said in Deuteronomy 30, verse 19, God said, I call heaven and earth to witness against you this day that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life. He told them, choose life, that both you and your descendants may live. But they always disobeyed. Mankind has always gone his own way. He has always disobeyed God. God sent then prophet after prophet to ancient Israel, and many times to the world, to other nations. Did they obey? No, they did not. They did not. Finally, God sent His own Son to this earth, and in Luke chapter 4, and verse 4, Jesus Christ said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. Man is to live by every word of the Bible, by every word of this book. And this book has been published all over the earth. It's the most published book that has ever been in existence in human history. But man does the exact opposite of this book, over and over, as we've been showing you on this program. He's always gone the wrong way. Jesus said man shall, live by every word of God. Jesus left an empty tomb. He was supernaturally resurrected to prove that He was the very Son of God. The Jews would love to have shown that He was not, but they couldn't find that body. The Romans would love to have found that He was not the Son of God for their purposes, but they could not. Christ was resurrected, and finally thousands and tens and hundreds of thousands all over the world began to believe in Christ, or in their at least interpretation of Christ, because His name became so famous. That empty tomb cannot be answered, and all the prophecies God and Christ inspired in this book cannot be answered. They tell man what to do. God's Word tells man what to do, but mankind has not following, was not following, does not now follow Christ's teaching or His commandments at all. back in Luke 6 and verse 46, Jesus said, "Why call you me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say?" Why do you call Jesus Lord? Why do people around the world, many of them calling themselves Christians, say, "Well, Jesus is Lord"? And how good it is to know the Lord this morning. But you say, "Well, are you doing this, you know, that Christ taught you?" Well, no, here's the way I look at it. Blah, 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 blah. Christ is not your Lord unless you do what He says. Please understand that. That is why God is not blessing our professing Christian nations or the other nations that are certainly not even professing Christ. So many of them suffer horrifying catastrophes. And we read about Bangladesh and we read about certain far-off nations that are having horrible problems. And we're sorry about that. And the human beings are suffering and it's terrible. But do they obey the God of the Bible? No, the vast majority of them do not even claim to do that. The vast majority of them are in some other religion. They don't follow the teachings of Christ. They don't believe in Christ at all. Most human beings, as the Bible says very clearly, my friends, are under the influence of Satan the devil. And man wants to go his own way. He wants to do his own thing and yet have God's blessing. And when things go wrong, then he wants to blame God rather than saying, "I've gone the wrong way, and why does God allow this terrible thing to happen to me?" You cannot have it both ways. Turn to Proverbs chapter 14, if you would, in your Old Testament, verse 12. God says to us, "There is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death." The way that seems right. He repeats that same thing, by the way, in Proverbs 16, verse 25. God repeats that twice. There is a way that seems right to a man. What seems right to you? What seems right to me? That is the way of death. God had to call me out of this world by shaking me up, by causing me nearly to be killed three times within about 10 days, come to a college where God's truth was being taught, and learn it. It was not my normal way. I had to learn God's way. Why should God intervene? Why should He bless individuals or bless nations who persist in rejecting His laws and rejecting His ways? Why should He do that? Turn back to 2 Timothy, if you would, chapter 3, verse 1. The Apostle Paul tells us about our time, frankly. He says, "But know this, that in the last days, perilous times will come. Danger, little wars, terrorist activities. But men will be lovers of themselves." Just filled with self. Just absolutely filled with hedonism, the desire to have more fun, self, self. Get more televisions. More cars, more this, more that. Filled with themselves, lovers of money. Oh, you better believe it. Money, money, money. Filling the American psyche today. Boasters, proud, blasphemers. People taking God's name in vain. Other cheap talk all over. Disobedient to parents. And boy, do we have that. A whole wave of juvenile delinquency and drug addiction. A whole wave of that such as has never been in modern times. Disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving. They won't forgive each other. They hate and fight and so on. Slanderers, without self-control. What about this generation coming along? Heavy into liquor, heavy into drugs, won't get out of bed, won't do things. Most of you know that. If you know anything about young people today, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good. The world as a whole does not love good. It despises true good. It despises true righteousness. It doesn't like it at all. Traitors, headstrong, haughty, notice, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. Absolute hedonists, just filled with wanting to please the self. Live for today, the now generation. That's our society. Having a form of godliness, God says, a form of godliness, not true godliness, but talking about God, and as many articles and surveys of modern American Christians and Canadian Christians have shown as well, we talk about God, but we have our own religion. We have a kind of a hodgepodge religion. You know, we go around, we choose and pick a little bit of this and that and put it together, and our religion, what we think, rather than directly what God says, a form of godliness, but denying its power. From such people turn away. If this life is all there is no future life, there is no special time when God will help us understand, what is the point of so much human suffering, my friends? First, we saw last time that God is fashioning us to be full sons of the kingdom of God, full sons of God, and to share in awesome glory, magnificent glory that we cannot fully imagine. He's called us and made us in His image for that purpose. Secondly, God, of course, is working out a purpose, and this is not the final end. Even a physical life is going to be given to people later on, as a booklet I've prepared for you will fully spell out. The vast majority of human beings will have a genuine first chance to really understand those people in other lands who've never heard of the Bible, never really understood anything about Jesus Christ, will understand. And they will be able to write the lessons and learn the lessons of human suffering. I'll explain more about that in a minute. But now I invite you to call or write for our incredibly eye-opening booklet that helps us understand this whole matter, this aspect of things. This booklet is entitled, Is This the Only Day of Salvation? This booklet will be sent absolutely free upon your request. This little booklet is easy to read. It explains, however, in detail, the tremendous mystery of life. Why God allows people to go on and on. Why most people are not called today to understand God. Why the vast majority of human beings have never been any kind of a Christian over in China and India and Africa and elsewhere. It answers that problem in a way you have never heard before, and it makes sense. So call or write today. Just ask for your free copy of this remarkable booklet entitled, Is This the Only Day of Salvation?
This informative booklet is yours absolutely free. No cost, no obligation. If you call this toll-free number, 1-800-934-5579. That's 1-800-934-5579. Or send your request to Tomorrow's World, P.O. Box 501-304, San Diego, California, 92150. With this offer, you will also receive your free subscription to Tomorrow's World magazine, full of timely articles and unique insights on today's important issues. No cost, no obligation to you. Call today.
Now back to our topic, why must men suffer? We have seen, my friends, that God has made us free moral agents. He allows us to make mistakes. Actions do have consequences, and when we break God's laws, when we break even the laws of physics and chemistry, when we fall off a building and break the law of gravity, so to speak, and are careless, actions do have consequences, and God does not keep us from hurting ourselves. He allows us to have free moral agency. Notice the book of Ecclesiastes, which is part of God's inspired word, Ecclesiastes 9 and verse 10. Whatever your hand finds to do, do it with your might, for there is no work or device or knowledge or wisdom in the grave where you're going. Everyone is going to the grave, God says, of course, except the few who live right up to the final coming of Christ. I returned and saw under the sun, the race is not to the swift, nor the battle to the strong, nor bread to the wise, nor riches to men of understanding, nor favor to men of skill. But time and chance happen to them all. And as I've said, my friends, time and chance happen. God does not make every one of us do what is right. He allows us to make mistakes, and He even allows, of course, the weather and other things to interfere. He's not especially protecting every human being, those especially who are not following His ways. He does not put us in a vacuum tube and keep us from all harm. For man does not know his time. Like a fish taken in a cruel net, like birds caught in a snare, so the sons of man are snared in an evil time. This is an evil time. And as the Bible tells us clearly, we are in Satan's world. Satan is called the god of this age, back in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. This is his age. This is not God's age. And God is allowing to go his own way under the Satan, the devil's influence. And we have to understand that. That's what most human beings are doing. They're going their own way under Satan's influence. Turn now to Proverbs 13, if you would, beginning in verse 13. God says, He who despises the word will be destroyed, but he who fears the commandment will be rewarded. The wise is a fountain of life to turn away one from the snares of death. Good understanding gains favor, but the way of the unfaithful is hard. And my friends, it is hard. It's very difficult. It brings suffering. It brings anguish. It brings tears. It brings agony. Men and women tossing back and forth in excruciating agony because one of them has committed adultery, broken God's law, shattered the very basis of that marriage. Others have broken other laws of God by getting drunk, by misusing drugs. And God indicates that thing is wrong. No drunkard will enter the kingdom of God. And it brings suffering onto the individual, suffering on the whole family, suffering on the children, often suffering on the next generation and the generation after that. Because the sins of the fathers come often down to the children, to the third and fourth generation, God says. The way of the transgressor is hard. People are going to have to learn to quit transgressing God's laws. Then they won't have all these problems. Then they won't have all the suffering. But God is going to make you do His will. The way of the transgressor is hard. Let's understand that. And let's realize what God has in mind. Turn back to Proverbs 6 now, the sixth chapter of the book of Proverbs, and beginning in verse 16. These six things the Eternal hates. The capital L-O-R-D in your Old Testament means the Eternal, the ever-living one, the great God hates. Yea, seven are an abomination to Him. A proud look, a lying tongue. Boy, have we seen a lot of that during the recent political campaigns in this country. A proud look, a lying tongue. All the politicians going at it. People all over the world selling this and that. Buy this with money you don't have, things you don't need. Over and over we hear the pitch, and people lying to each other about every other thing imaginable. They're an abomination to God. Hands that shed innocent blood bring suffering. What does that do? God says, thou shalt not murder. And they are murdering. They are breaking God's law. A heart that devises wicked plans. Feet that are swift in running to evil. A false witness who speaks lies. Oh, how God hates lies. And one who sows discord among brethren. People all over the world are violating this whole way of life. They're bringing suffering on themselves. Yet God understands that most men and women are now blinded to His purpose and His truth. They do not understand. So God Himself will cause human suffering to work out for good in the end. He really will, and we need to understand that. Turn with me now to the New Testament again, to the book of Hebrews, chapter 5. It's talking here about Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Verse 7, who in the days of His flesh, when He had offered up prayers and supplications with vehement cries and tears, Jesus literally bawled before God. He had to go through the trials and tests we do. And He beseeched God. He cried out to God, Father, I'm in this human flesh. You're up there in heaven, but I'm down here among these people, and I am tempted, which He was. It says in Hebrews 4:15 that Jesus was tempted in all points, like as we are. And so Jesus literally cried out with vehement cries and tears as He prayed to God with His whole being, to Him who was able to save Him from death, and was heard because of His godly fear. He had the deep reverence, the awe of His Father in heaven, which we ought to have. Though He was a son, yet He learned obedience by the things which He suffered. Jesus suffered. And through that suffering, He learned and understood more fully than He could. He knew by empirical understanding. He learned by principle, of course, by being the Creator that we were suffering. But being down here among us helped Him understand even more fully how to be a merciful and a faithful high priest and other things as well. He learned by suffering. And having been perfected, He became the author of eternal salvation to who? Those who just say, I love the Lord? No, to all who obey Him. That's what it says. If we're willing to obey Him and really have Him as our Lord and do what He says. Jesus said in Matthew 19:17, which we've told you so often, if you would enter into life, keep the commandments. And He began to name some of the Ten Commandments. But men come up with so many wonderful reasons why they can't do the Ten Commandments and how they're done away, how they're nailed to the cross, or how we're to keep nine of them, but certainly they're to do away with one of them, and so on. And so God lets human beings go their own way, and we eventually will learn but the things that we have suffered. So let's understand that. Let's turn now back to Romans 8:18. Paul writes, For I consider that the sufferings, we're talking about human suffering, the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. We're going to have a transcendent glory, a magnificent power, a spirit body which will shine like the sun beyond our wildest imagination. As I explained in the last program, we really will, my friends, if we will learn to get rid of our own ways and obey God and let Christ live His obedient life in us. Boy, it's going to be wonderful to be in the very family of God and have a glorified body. No sickness, not getting tired, not getting run down, not dying, not having human nature at us all the time, not having the devil deceiving people around us, no wars, fighting, hate, antagonism, broken homes. No suffering. That's all going to be done away. And so what we suffer now is not worthy to be compared with that. For the earnest expectation of the creation eagerly awaits for the revealing of the sons of God. Someday the sons of God, not just one son, but all the sons of God, all who are Christians and all who are finally made full sons of God will be revealed. For the creation was subjected to futility. Men are destroying the plants, the animals, fouling the air, the water, everything around us. Not willingly, but because of Him who subjected it in hope. God's allowing us to be deceived by Satan the devil. Because the creation itself will be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. Finally, we will be freed from this body, freed from the suffering, freed from the devil. For we know that the whole creation groans and labors with birth pangs until now. The whole creation is suffering. The plants and animals are dying off, and all kinds of things are happening in our ecology. And not only they, but we also who have the first fruits of the Spirit, we have the begotten Spirit of God, we're partly His sons, begotten of Him, the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, eagerly waiting for the adoption, the redemption of our body. And that adoption can be translated sonship. We're going to be made real sons of God. We groan, we're awaiting that. The true Christians cry out for that body, that deliverance which is coming. But the suffering works for good. And God tells us that again and again. Down in verse 28, we know that all things work together for what? For good to those who love God and to those who are called according to His purpose. Yes, that suffering works for good. We're going to write the lessons in human suffering. Later on, we will learn those lessons. And we can never say, well, God, You didn't let us try out this. And You didn't let us try out that. And You didn't let us have our ideas about politics and our ideas about education and our ideas about how to have fun and our ideas about having to have murder and rape and robbery and everything on the things our young children watch and just let people get away with that. God says, I'll let you try all of that. And you see how it worked out. Now walk this way. God's going to do that later on. And we need to understand. He says in verse 31, what then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? Yes, God is for us, my friends. He loves us. He loves us with an everlasting love. He made us in His image. If God be for us, who can be against us? We cannot answer that question the wrong way. The great God will deliver us and be with us and make that suffering turn out for good. Who did not spare His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all? How shall He not with Him also give us freely all things? Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. God's going to deliver and help every human being. He's going to give every human being a genuine opportunity to really know Him and to understand His will in God's times. It is the Christ who died and furthermore is risen, who is at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. Jesus Christ prays for us if we're Christians. He's there at God's right hand. He asks the Father to help us. As we've seen back in Hebrews 4:15, God says Jesus was tempted in all points like as we are. Therefore, He's able to be a merciful and a faithful high priest. And if you will come to God through Jesus Christ and give your life to God and let Christ live His life within you, all the suffering, all the trials, all the tests will definitely work for good. And you don't have to keep on suffering in your mind. You can have the peace of God, which passes all understanding. You really can. I hope you'll do that, my friends. I hope you really learn to let Jesus Christ live His life in you. That's so important. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, or peril, or sword, as it is written, for your sake we are killed all day long. We're counted as sheep for the slaughter. Yea, in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing, shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. God will take care of us. We're made for a wonderful purpose, but we've got to go through, most human beings, this 6,000-year period to write the lessons that we will later learn. Again, be sure to call or write immediately for our eye-opening booklet about the outcome of all these things I've been talking about. This booklet is entitled, Is This the Only Day of Salvation? This booklet will be sent absolutely free upon your request. This is a very small booklet, easily read, and yet it will spell out for you the awesome purpose of human existence in a particular way, why God is not trying to save the whole world now in a way you have never understood before. This booklet will really help you understand why God is allowing mankind to go through the mistakes and the suffering that we do. So call now and request your free copy of this booklet, Is This the Only Day of Salvation?
This informative booklet is yours absolutely free. No cost, no obligation. If you call this toll-free number, 1-800-934-5579. That's 1-800-934-5579. Or send your request to Tomorrow's World, P.O. Box 501304, San Diego, California, 92150. With this offer, you will also receive your free subscription to Tomorrow's World magazine, full of timely articles and unique insights on today's important issues. No cost, no obligation to you. Call today.
Be sure to tune in next week to another powerful Tomorrow's World program. You will be taught and challenged with this exciting program on a topic seldom understood in our modern professing Christian world. And tune in every week as Richard Ames and I give you the real meaning behind today's news, the prophetic events, and the meaning of life itself. See you right here next week.
The informative booklet offered on this program is yours absolutely free if you call 1-800-934-5579 or send your request to Tomorrow's World, P.O. Box 501304, San Diego, California, 92150. Be sure to visit our webpage at www.tomorrowsworld.org. The preceding program was produced by the Living Church of God.